Professor Allen is currently the head of the Pediatric Hematology Oncology Service at the Red Cross War Memorial Children's Hospital. His clinical and research interests include pediatric brain tumors and other HIV-related cancers in children, genetic syndromes contributing to childhood cancer, and much more. As an associate professor in the Department of Pediatrics and Child Health at the University of Cape Town, he serves as the director of postgraduate education. He wears many, many hats, but today he joins as an RX Radio board member. Welcome to the show, Professor. How did you become to be a part of RX Radio?
Oh, thanks, Gemma. And gosh, that's a lot of words, I have to say. I'm going to try and make this as interesting as possible after that kind of introduction. Amy's a tough act to follow. So my personal interest in radio goes back a long time. When I was a student activist in the 1980s, I became involved in UCT radio. In fact, speaking of Amy's desire and mine for the radio to broadcast on the radio waves in due course, we actually did put up an illegal medium wave transmitter that particular winter of 1985, which lasted for some time. And those were kind of exciting days where I got familiar with the romance of radio, but also the relevance. I worked on the news side. We had lots of connections with local journalists, and one of them tipped us off. And in fact, our radio station, albeit with a very small audience at the time, was actually the first radio station to broadcast the very tragic events around the Trojan Horse Massacre, which luckily you guys probably don't know about it, but people my age will be well familiar with that. So coming from that, obviously I didn't go into radio. I was a medical student. I became a doctor. And through my sort of travels and journeys, I bumped into Gabriel Ugiotti, who of course is the founder of Red Cross Radio, and we became friends through a mutual friend of ours, through a music club. And so I kind of was back in orbit, and I think with a bit of radio history and with a connection to the hospital, Gabs approached me to serve on the board of Red Cross Radio. I was delighted to do so. It was, at that stage, an idea. Gosh, he'd had that idea for a very long time that had been shaped, and it was really looking for support and funding and so on, which is kind of, that brings us back to Dora and me. It's kind of why we're here today. But that very long story, is that long arc, is how I landed up as I'm an enthusiast rather than an expert in this room.
Wow, that's incredible. Thank you for sharing that. What about the station made you keen to be a part of this cause?
Well, I had seen radio in hospitals in the United Kingdom. I worked briefly as a junior, and I'd seen their kind of lollipop radios that many of them have. It's kind of a franchise there in a way. And you know, the idea of like a hospital radio was, to use a Afrikaans phrase, kind of olik, and that, you know, seemed like fun. And then as Gabs explained the notion of, I think in particular, radio not so much for children but by children, that's a different construction, right? So that's the thing that's the most enthusing, is the whole notion of using both the content to heal but also the process itself. So being involved in making programming is part of the magic.
I definitely agree. RX Radio does give a lot of opportunities to young people. RX Radio has done a lot over the past 5 years. What are the accomplishments that stand out to you?
Gosh, I hadn't thought of a specific list. I mean, getting in this building, making these studios, was the amazing initial pusher. I mean, with such a lot of work and effort on so many parts. So on the part of so many people, I should say. And then I think the human capital, the fact that the original team managed to attract others over the years. Some have come and gone, but all super enthusiastic. Some people have changed their careers entirely from kind of business accounting in one guy's case, you know, to become sort of very deep in the weeds in radio. So to me, the fundamental joy is beyond the expensive mixing desks and all the IT, is just the investment and the result of human capital, of building people, so that even people who may have been involved in the radio but now are busy with other things, their lives have been changed.
Definitely.
So for me, that's the biggest plus. And the fact that in spite of a very, very difficult context in terms of COVID, that we're still here. I mean, I think that's the point. I would add one thing, though. It would be remiss of me not to make one point, and I have very much an inside track here. So Red Cross Radio has come across the pathway of the WHO Director General, Dr. Tedros, twice in the last 12 months. And I'm also board member of the International Pediatric Oncology Society, and I can tell you that we've also managed to get a meeting with Tedros, but only once in the last 12 months. And that was incredibly difficult. And in fact, Red Cross Radio had a lot more time with the Director General than SIOP did. So I think a lot of people on the community side, part of Red Cross Radio's community, don't appreciate the really significant that access was and is. How to turn that fairy dust into money, if I can just use the word, that's the question, right?
Thank you. Today's theme is not only about the 5 years we have had, but also the many more years we would like to see in the future. In your opinion, how can we work together to ensure that RX Radio sees many more years?
Yeah, you know, we've gone round the houses from a board perspective considering this, and we've tapped into the community, both the media community, where there are many wise people, a lot of whom are super sympathetic and enthused about the model. We understand that it's probably not a good idea to compete with commercial radio for a variety of reasons. One of them being that, you know, that commercial radio is exactly that. I think the fundamental insight here is that in the first instance, we have to do what we do. We've got to keep on like doing this stuff. And we mustn't be kind of persuaded to try and do things differently to get funders or to get people on board. I believe the model is strong enough in itself to attract sufficient funders to create long-lasting sustainability. I can only say that, I mean, I've personally come across someone who I've known for a long time who, when she heard about this, you know, this radio station, put money into it. I mean, she invested a fairly significant amount of money. She just happens to have means because she was really charmed at the model and really enthused. Now, I mean, I don't have a lot more friends like that, so I wish I did. And, I mean, we don't all have lots of friends like that, but we just got to keep knocking on doors. I think part of that is, if I reflect on the way that came about, it's conversation. In other words, I'd known her for a decade, but I only spoke to her about Red Cross Radio. Now, you see there, you do see an example of unlocking doors. It was the fact that we'd got time with Tedros, and I was laughing and saying to her that my radio got more time with Tedros than the International Society. And then she said, tell me more, etc. So I think part of the process has got to be also that word of mouth, just to keep talking about this thing that we do.
Definitely. People should definitely bring a light to RX Radio to give other children who are maybe also at home but not at a Red Cross, for example, who are sick, just to come here and give them something to do if they don't have anything. Speaking of many more years, where do you hope to see RX Radio in the next 5 years?
Perhaps, I mean, there's two ways of seeing it. Obviously, the model itself, we have to sustain it. That's the first thing, is survival. The second thing is, where's the growth in the process? Are we looking to go, you know, wider and wider? I'm not sure. There's an argument there about perhaps our best contribution can be to show other people how something like this can be brought to fruition and survive. But I do believe that the radio, in the first instance, is something that belongs to the community of Cape Town, because the patient base is rooted here. And so, I mean, I would love to see the ongoing expansion, as there has been, into some of the other hospitals around the peninsula, and that's happening. And then, of course, I mean, the holy grail is to unlock the broadcasting authority's cap on the airwaves and actually to get on air in a way so that people out there 5 kilometers from here, or 7 kilometers from here, or 20 kilometers from here can hear the stuff that our kids do and build that footprint. And I think, you know, it's a chicken and egg story. In other words, do we need more money to broadcast? Well, we know broadcasting is not related to money. The broadcasting problem is about regulation and about the broadcasting authority's cap on new licenses. Or is it that if we can access that theater, if I can put it that way, maybe we can get more funders? So, but I mean, I would love that. I would, if you want to ask me, 5 years' time, I'd like to be able to turn on my radio and hear us.
I agree. I definitely think RX Radio is going places. Thank you so much for joining us today. It was really nice to see you.